Thank you. Good song for us tonight. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, please. Actually, you should have a handout. Anybody need a handout? Did you get a handout? I see a bunch of people shaking their heads. No. Okay. Can we get a couple guys to help, please? There's a stack right there. Thank you. There's a lot of scripture tonight. Now, it's midweek. It's Bible study, so we can do a lot of scripture. That's okay, right? All right. I know it was a hot day. And on Sunday, one of our AC units went out, and the whole service, I saw half of you fanning, right? Now, we have three AC units. Miss Karina, you can still fan. No, it's fine. It's okay. But at least we have all three going tonight, all right? So if not, we could act like it. Sometimes it's a mental thing, right? Oh, one of them's out. It's 10 degrees hotter than it actually is when you know it. But anyhow, I know a lot of us worked. Some of us worked in the heat. And so by this time of the day, you'd be a little tired. But I think that if we pay attention to the truth tonight, it can help us. I'll wait until I see everybody has a handout. Had to go to Orange County today. Normally it's a little hotter over there, not always. 3 hours, 45 minutes one way, the time there and back. No AC. Oh, my soul. Traffic's bad, but it's worse when it's 90 degrees and you have no AC. Gotta walk in the spirit, right, Brother Vaught? Huh? Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Good sermon last week. Okay, I think we have our handouts now. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And which handheld's good? Is that one fine? Not yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says this. Follow along with me, please. And by the way, before Brother Shannon Scott preached on Sunday night, I already had this prepared, right? And he got up, he said, please turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I said, no, he's not going to. But he went in a totally different direction, so praise the Lord. I'd preach on it anyways because I think it's of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, what's the next word?
Charity.
I become as a sounding brass banging together, or a tinkling cymbal. What's he saying? We'll keep reading. He said, I might go as a missionary. I might get, I don't know if you get these ads on your phone, learn a language in 20 minutes today. Don't waste your money and don't waste your time clicking on it. It's going to happen. But you can go and you can study hard and learn a language like Mandarin, which is ridiculously difficult to learn. You can master that language and go as a missionary. You can speak with the tongues. That word tongues there is talking about languages. And I could go and I could learn another language, even with the intention of giving someone the gospel. He said, but if I have not charity, it's just noise. Just noise. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy, and this is hypothetical here, and understand all mysteries. He said, if I could. And all knowledge. Now in verse 9, I don't think we're reading here tonight, but we understand, he says, We don't know all mysteries. We don't prophesy fully. We prophesy in part. We know in part. He said, but if we were to know everything, wouldn't it be nice to have all knowledge of this book? Sure, it would be nice. But it doesn't matter if I have, now again, hypothetical. I understand all mysteries, have all knowledge. Though I have all faith. You ever feel like you lack in faith sometimes? Maybe not you. If you say not you, you ought to be up here preaching. I ought to be sitting down listening to you. We all have times in our life where maybe we don't have the faith that we ought to have. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, Jesus said that kind of faith is possible. And have not charity, I am, what's the next word? What's the next word? I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, and have not charity, again, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. By the way, we see all these scandals I think, and we have to be careful in our demonstration of love. This is good for all of us that work in ministry. Talked to Brother Jim about it today. Love does not seek her own. Charity does not seek, what can I get out of this? I think a lot of well-meaning men in the ministry, well-meaning husbands, Sunday school teachers, bus workers, go into a situation with an individual with the intention of giving and giving and helping. But as soon as we cross the line, we look what we can get out of it. That's where scandals and that's where mess-ups happen. We got to make sure that our love, our charity, it doesn't seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, we know that, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We're going down to verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. They abide. They are continuing. In eternity, they will stand. They're not going anywhere. They're firm. Faith is important. Hope is important. Where would we be without the hope of heaven, without the hope we find in Christ? He says, but of all these, the greatest of these is charity. I believe in hard preaching. Maybe I'm the only one. Let me say that again. I believe in hard preaching. I like hard preaching. I like preaching hard against sin. I do. I remember not too long ago at a winter camp, and especially you teenagers know this to be true, when I come into high school chapel or college chapel and preach, I love preaching hard against sin, and I believe it's necessary. I remember one time I was preaching the sermon, but afterwards, and I had that bowl filled up with whipped cream, you know what I'm talking about? Not the light canned stuff, that's not real whipped cream, I'm talking, you know, the kind that's frozen, okay, you scoop it out, it's hard, it's almost like ice cream, you pour it, That's real whipped cream right there. I got hungry right there. I hope we have some of that for dessert fellowship. But I got that. I had a cherry on top. I drizzled some chocolate on the top. But what the kids did not know was inside of that whipped cream and that chocolate goodness was a bunch of sand. And what teenager would not want to bite into that goodness, right? But afterwards, and I talked about sin and how sin is so appealing. And by the way, the first bite of sin is always the best. It's always downhill from there, okay? And so don't think, oh, it's going to be just as good next time. No, it's not. It's always downhill. But you bite into it, and the Bible says, but afterwards, your mouth is going to be filled with gravel. You ever had a mouth full of sand? That is the worst, the absolute worst. I remember I was right here in this auditorium, in this position, and some things had gone on among the teenagers, and I was in there preaching for I forgot what it was. I think, Dan, you might have still been a teenager a while ago, and I had planned, so you know what I'm going to do to get their attention and make a point? I'm going to take this glass cup, and I'm going to throw it. I'm going to shatter it. I wasn't angry. It wasn't being angry and sinning. No, I was going to make a point. I took it. I don't know if you remember this, Dan. I took it and I just launched it when I made a point. I said, seriously? And I threw it. It was like an angel carried it. And it fluttered all the way across here and just hit that pillar right there and shattered perfectly. I said, wow, I couldn't do that again if I tried. There's one key right there. It's probably still off tune from a piece of glass in there. But no, I like hard preaching. I love to preach hard against sin. And I believe we need to preach hard against sin. Maybe it's my flesh, but some of my favorite stories are when Jesus goes into the temple and he turns the tables over. How many are with me on that? I liked Phineas and the javelin and the human shish kebab. That's what I'm talking about, right? I mean, his name is mentioned over and over and over again, always as a sign of someone who stood up and made a difference. I like John calling out the Pharisees, and he calls them vipers and snakes, and calls out the king, and he's just naming sins, you know, naming names. I love it. I believe in God's people, especially as independent Baptists. I believe that we ought to be salt. I believe that we ought to take a stand, and I believe that we ought to speak out against a cesspool of filth that's coming out of Hollywood and coming out of our political system and coming in our public education system. It's junk. It's trash. It's garbage. And I believe that we as God's people ought to take a stand against that. I believe that evil prevails when good men sit back and do nothing. I believe in high standards.
I believe in high standards of separation. We don't need to bring in purple lights and look like a rock concert to reach the people out there, because if you have to reach them with a worldly flavor, you also have to keep them with a worldly flavor. I don't think we have to lower our standards of music and lower our standards of dress. By the way, I'm thankful that we have high standards of dress here. Pastor Myers talked about it. You know, we believe that showing the thigh is nakedness. For ladies, it's nakedness. It's inappropriate. For men, our thighs are a sign of strength, the Bible says. In the Bible, they were not supposed to show their thighs. You say, oh, you're hitting a rabbit trail. I'm hitting a needed rabbit trail. And I believe, if it's not said behind this pulpit, where is it going to be said? Not going to be said at the workplace. Now, it's in the Bible, but it's the job of the preacher to stand. I'm so glad I came to my wife recently and I said, it's bothersome, the trend where the hemline is going up, neckline's going down. I said, would you help me out? I said, please. I said, as the hemline goes up, and I talked to my entire family, talked to my sister, talked to all of us. I said, look, as it gets worse and worse and it even tries to creep in, let's go the opposite direction. Because the last time I was up here, I talked about standards. Our standards, you say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, our standards are here to help us to keep our convictions, right? And so I don't want to tote the line so closely to where I cross over because I'm so close and I sin because I broke a conviction because I didn't have a standard to keep me from that. I believe in high standards. High standards of morality. Some people say, oh, you're overboard with all this morality stuff. No, I believe it's helping us keep our convictions. High standards of theology and doctrine. As independent Baptists, I believe that our standards are right, and I believe that our stand is right. By the way, lowercase I, lowercase F, K, we don't need to brand ourselves with some movement or anything. No. Lowercase independent, lowercase fundamental, and B, capital B, Baptist, who we are. I believe that our stand is right. I believe that our standards are right. But if I could maybe change gears here for a minute. I'm not preaching to anybody else. I'm preaching to myself. At the end of the day, as God's people with the right stand, with the right convictions, and with the right standards, if what we do and if our very lives are not motivated, if all that we do here in church and if all we do with our standards and all we do with our practice here in God's house and as God's people is not motivated by charity or love, a love for God, a love for each other, and a love for the lost, according to what we just read, our teaching, our preaching, our giving, our sacrifice, our talents, and our life is just noise. It's just noise. 1 Corinthians 1, he says, it's noise. It's a tinkling cymbal. In verse 2, he says, I am nothing. He said, it's nothing. In verse 3, he said, it profiteth nothing. He said, it profits us nothing. 3-point outline right there. But that's not what we're using. Anyone have a noise that annoys you? Brother Vaught, you know I was going to call you out on this one. Brother Vaught used to love, Tim, you remember this, love to chew ice, right? Do you still do it? No, okay. His wife said, that's the noise that annoys me. Love it. One thing I realized, it'd been a while. My wife didn't say anything. I would chew ice. I would chew something really crunchy, and my wife would just smile. Like, what is it? I don't like that sound. Like, you should have told me like 2 years ago. We've already been married for 2 years here. But we all have I can't stand the chalkboard. That's me. How many of you are with me? Just when it goes down, I can't stand it. Styrofoam. Oh, man, just hear, imagine back and forth, the styrofoam sound. I remember when I was in Thailand. Is Brother Tongdi here tonight? I thought I saw Hudson. Anyways, when I was in Thailand, not to complain about the accommodations, because it was awesome. I was in Thailand in April. The first night I got there, and I was jet lagged, and it was a long flight, long day. It was, I think, 30 hours of total travel time and uptime, and I was tired. Went to my room, banana trees on one side, mango trees on the other side, coconut trees on the other side, and a literal swamp on the other side to kind of just paint the picture. But in the middle of it all, there was AC. Amen. Now, you throw me anywhere. If I got AC, I'm feeling good. I'm good. So I'm out there, and the middle of the night, only been sleeping for a couple hours, and something was dripping on my face. Like, okay, this is weird. I mean, remember, jet lag, you don't know who you are, where you are, what you are, when you are. I wake up, and the AC was overworking because it was so hot and humid, it was dripping on my forehead. I said, okay, this is not good. This is not working. So I moved the bed back. I got a bowl. This will work. I put the bowl down there. I don't want to get everything wet. Put a towel around the bowl because it was coming out a lot. All night long, Tim. All night long. You say, weren't you so tired that you could sleep? No, I couldn't sleep. Drip, 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 drip. Have you ever been to Cambodia early in the morning? In the city, in Phnom Penh, every morning. Sounds like the teacher from, Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Every single morning, they're advertising their 25-cent or 12-cent rice bowls. I'm talking early, early in the morning. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And then they just go, and it's noise. Brother Esposito said, there's one lady that came, I think he said 5:30, every single morning, selling her, blah, blah. Oh, my soul, I'm running out of time here. I got to stop telling stories. And he said, every single morning, it was the same thing, same noise, same noise. He said, after a year or two of being there, he said, you know how many bowls of rice I bought? None. It was just white noise. That's how a life lived without love is. We can give, we can preach, we can wax eloquent. But if it's not lived out of a life of love, it's like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I was going to go to Isaiah 58, 1 through 11. That was our church Bible reading today. I'd encourage you to go there. God came to Isaiah. We might not even get to our notes. God came to Isaiah in those verses, and he said, spare not, cry aloud, lift up your voice, show my people their transgressions. You see, what was it, fornication? No. If you were to look, what was it? Was it all these sins that the Moabites and the Amorites and all of them did? No, it wasn't. He said, tell my people, preach up a storm, yell, raise up your voice and preach against their transgression. Then he goes on to say, they fast. They seek me every single day. They want to know my doctrines. They want to know my precepts. If you were to look at them at face value, they were more spiritual than we are. Look at that chapter, verse number 2. That verse alone puts me to shame. But he said, I don't want your fasting. I don't want your feasts. I don't even want to hear your prayers. He said, you really want me to hear you? He said, why don't you go? And he gives about 6 things. He goes, why don't you go lift off the burdens from your brothers? Why don't you go help free the oppressed? Why don't you go clothe the poor? Why don't you go feed the poor and clothe the naked? He said, why don't you do these things that demonstrate a heart of love? Then I will heal your land. Then I will hear you. What was he saying? He says, you can do all these external religious exercises, but if it's not done out of a heart of charity, it's nothing. Because the 2 greatest commandments in the Bible are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Tonight, I've got about 5 minutes here. I want to ask us to evaluate our love in 3 different areas. Here it is. Here it is. Number one. How, and I'm talking to myself tonight, so easy to be like the people in the book of Isaiah. Especially, and might I say this, especially those of us that are second generation Christians. About 10, 15 years ago, our church was pretty much all first generation Christians, right? Now we're beginning to have second, and soon we will have in this service, 3rd generation Christians. If we're not careful, we just go through the motions. And we do what we do because we're supposed to do it, as opposed to out of a genuine heart of charity. Number one, here it is. How is our love? 3 areas. How's our love for the Lord tonight? I just mentioned it. Someone asked, what's the great commandment? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We remember the church in Revelation 2, 1 through 5. He says, your doctrine's right. Your preaching is right. Your stand's right. You shun that which is evil. He said, but I have somewhat against you. What was that? Book of Revelation, he said, you left what? You left your first love. What was he saying? Your preaching's right, your doctrine's right, your stand's right, but at the end of the day, Hey, church over there.
I was going to use this more, but I won't for sake of time. We're sharing the gospel. We're spending time. We're talking, fellowshipping at the church. We're doing all these things, and up in heaven.
Up in heaven, we can stand right, and I can preach against some of the things I just preached against. But at the end of the day, if we leave our first love in God's ears, it's just noise. It's just noise. How's our love for the Lord tonight? You know, some of us, we left it. We have. Honestly, there have been times in my life where I've come to a point, I've said, something's not right. I've lost my joy. I've something's not right. And God says, no, you didn't lose your joy. You left me. Can I say this? Does God still speak when you read his word? Does the preaching move you? I'm thankful. And it's not always been like that. But I'm thankful that I can hear a Brother Vaught last week. I can hear a Brother Ross, a Brother Ray, Pastor Myers. And maybe I've heard some of these guys for 10, 15, 20 years. But they speak, they'll preach a message up here, and there will be one point where God just works at my heart. And man, I needed that. Man, that was good for me. Look, if we're not there, if it's just another sermon, if we're dreading coming to church, if we're just struggling our way through, we might ask a question. Have I left my first love? How's our love for God tonight? The songs, look, we are singing about him. Do the songs move you? Or is it just a time of fellowship? Is it just a time of, it's another song. You ever shed a tear? You know one way we can tell if our heart is soft in the right place? Is if we are ever moved emotionally, whether through preaching, whether through a broken home we see while we're out visiting. Maybe we see a missionary presentation, and I'm not going to have time to talk about my third point, the lost. But do we ever get moved to tears? Look, Jesus wept all the time. Why? Because his love for his Father, his heart, his love was in the right place. Jesus just walked up to the city, and he looked down to the city, and he was moved so much. He just looked at the city and just began weeping. When it came to the situation with Lazarus, he went over there. He saw the people weeping. He looked at them. He evaluated the situation. It broke his heart. He just began to weep. When was the last time we cried, we shed a tear for anything spiritual? Have we left our first love? How's our love for the Lord? And by the way, if it's good, amen, keep it there. Some of us, look, you are getting something from the Word of God. You have a zeal for souls. Amen, let's keep it there. Maybe some of us tonight need to get back to it. Number two, how is our love for each other? How's our love for each other? John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment, you have it there, I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, what? Our love for one another, shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Oh, my soul. I'm on Twitter now. I know, right? I'm on Twitter. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But no, don't go there. Not like Trump, okay? We stay away from those kind of tweets. But it's amazing how much Christians bicker publicly. It's amazing. I mean, literally, we've gone so far to where there are some that call themselves independent Baptists are making baseball cards of other independent Baptists mocking them and putting it on Twitter. Now, it's one thing for us to see that. It's another thing for a lost person to go on there and see that. You imagine what the lost thinks when they see independent Baptists, Christians, we call ourselves Christians, doing that to each other. The Lord said, by this, what? Our love one towards another, the brethren, shall all men know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one toward another. How's our love for each other? Not going to read it. Colossians 3, 12 to 14 says, put away all these things, forgive one another, he says, but above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's move on here. I don't think that the messages that have been preached have been on accident. Marks of a strong family from a national survey. Good thoughts here. We'll move on to the last point. I have an extra 5 minutes. Brother Ray, do I have permission for 5 more minutes? You're the man here tonight. You're moderating. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Marks of a strong family. Here it is. Appreciation. When was the last time one of us went to Brother Nick and said, hey, Brother Nick, the music's been great. It has. Look, do you know how much it takes to get two specials every single service? Man, that takes a lot of work, a lot of orchestrating, a lot of, thank you, that prepares our heart. The song we heard tonight, man, that was good. Thank you, sister, that was good for us. How about Brother Sokum or Brother Ray? Thank you for ushering for us. Thank you for helping our visitors find a spot. Thank you for greeting. Thank you for kicking people out that know they shouldn't park in front of the neighbors and do it anyways. Thank you. Appreciation. There's so much that goes on. Thank you, Pastor Myers, for week in, week out, doing all that you do. Next, time together. Time together. I know we have fellowships in the summer, but how about, hey, let's go out to eat to help a brother out. Next, commitment. I'm moving quickly. Next, work well together in times of crisis. What are times of crisis? Someone messes up. Instead of casting a stone, maybe going to them and extending a hand. I'm not talking about someone that's obstinate, that's living in sin. I'm talking about someone who genuinely messed up because they're flesh just like you and I are flesh. And in time of crisis, we go out there and we say, hey, let's help restore you. Let's help get you back to where you need to be. Maybe someone's going through a tough time with their family, with their children, with their finances, with something, and we help. Let's love and look for ways to demonstrate our love to one another here. And finally, how is our love, I'll be done, for the lost? Number one, for the Lord. Number two, for each other. Number three, for the lost. I think there can be an inerrant con of, it's not a bad thing to be separate. Separated. I believe in separation and secondary separation. But I think that we can be sometimes so distant from the world that instead of loving the lost, it becomes repulsive to us. What do you mean? Well, we walk to the store. You ever see that kid that just needs a whooping? Jen? Was that today? Yesterday? Oh, my soul. This kid screamed the entire time. I was going to say the story. I don't want to give it away in case it was one of your kids. But it wasn't. This kid needed a whooping. I'm telling you. Oh, my soul. But we look, and instead of thinking, man, let me give them a track because if they came to Christ, they could learn how to rear their children. And we could think, I'm glad my kid's not that way. I'm glad I know how to rear my children. I'm glad I know how to not spare the rod. We can see homosexual. Oh, we're out and about. I'm not talking to him. I ain't talking to him. Because it's repulsive. Hey, look, Jesus Christ, I know it's not maybe not popular. Jesus Christ came to die for everybody. He so loved the world. And by the way, I have personally, in the last 2 years, personally, one of them, I actually recorded it because it was so amazing. I've personally seen three homosexuals come to the Lord. We can say, I'm not talking to that person. We can see the homeless and think, well, he put himself in that situation. We can see a broken home and we can say, thank God that's not my home. We can see teens in gangs and we can, instead of going there during soul winning, we on purpose cross to the other side of the street. My wife has this thing. She sees the scariest people walking down the street. She'll smile and give them a track. I'll say, stop it, Jen. You're making me look bad. But we can think, I'm not talking to them. You say, but they're sinners. What they do is repulsive. I know. They're sinners. That's what they're supposed to do. But Christ loved them and he died for them. I'm glad my dad put us in positions where we were separate, no TV, no movies, no all this kind of stuff, no sleepovers, none of that stuff. However, he put us in the bus ministry. This is a little commercial break. Parents, put your kids in the bus ministry. It's good for them. But he put us in the bus ministry, and so though we were separate from the world, we got to touch those people, and we got a heart for people. There's so much I could say. I don't have time. The reason we have salvation is because God so loved the lost. Let's look here. Let's read the verses, and I'll wrap it up. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Look at Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 4:10, herein is love. What's true love? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Titus 3:3-4. Look at the second one. The love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. When we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. When we lived like that, he still loved us. we ought also to love one another. Look here, 2 Corinthians 5:19, and here's where it's at. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath, here it is, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What's the point? God so loved the world that he gave his only son as a sacrifice. And he says, those people that I loved and gave my son for, I've given you, God's people, the ministry to reconcile a lost world to God. That's going to take love. It's going to take love. Now, I'll close. Have some couple illustrations here and whatnot, but save them for another sermon for another day. How's your love today? We can have everything right externally, but if we don't have love, number one, for God, how's our love for the Lord? Does he speak to us? Do we talk to him? Number two, for each other. And number three, for a lost and a dying world. Let's ask ourselves tonight, how's our love life? How's our love life? And if there's any area that we mentioned that we need to get right, let's do it. By the way, like I said, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody. Let's stand and let's pray.